see that.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah, yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Here we go.
All right, let's do it.
Yes, sir. And ma'ams and America, we are officially ready to start the show talking sports with the 12th man, kicking off to you on this beautiful beginning of the month of June here, June the 7th. This year is just rolling right along. I mean, it's been nuts. It's been crazy. But, again, so excited to join you once again back kind of on a familiar night. So without further ado, I know JQ is he's going to be joining us momentarily. But as we always do, let's go around the room, do a quick check-in with the fellas. Robert Ford, we're going to start out with you. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Hey, doing great, man. Ready to have some fun with you guys tonight. Hope everyone's doing well.
Yes, sir. We're kicking to the West Coast. Curtis, Gary, and a special guest. Let's get this party started. How you guys doing this evening?
We're doing good. I wanted to introduce you to Annie over my shoulder here. This is Curtis's number one care provider. You know, we talk about sports. We talk about our heroes. This is our hero here. She takes care of,
yay,
you know, my brother here. And we just, I wanted to just have you guys meet her and just say on the air, you know, thank you very much for all of what you do for my man over here.
Thank you, Annie.
Hi. Appreciate all you do.
Nice to
yes,
meet you guys.
Thank you. You as
you
well.
You take great care, Chris.
Gentleman's work, and it's just to show there's a lot of heroes. You know, not all heroes wear capes, so awesome.
Right.
Just fucking blessed. I am a true sports fan. Yeah. It was fun to me.
They were watching football all day, highlights all night.
Nice.
Now they're watching the new one, the USL.
Yeah.
Okay. Annie, you know some good things.
Nice
thank you, Annie,
you
for all that you do. It's good to to see you, and you a lot of love too. So we appreciate everything you're doing. So thank you. Woohoo! We love it. Giving shout outs, and this is how we start the show off, America. Just some good stuff, good vibes, as always. And Gary, you doing good though, and everything, sir?
Yeah, we're doing good. A little frustrated with the house thing, but you know, it's slow and steady. I'm glad I came home. If I'd have stayed out in Florida looking at properties and stuff, I would have been way farther behind. I've been going into the house every day to give them a, let's see what we got here, give them a boot in the butt. But yeah, we're doing good.
Good stuff. All right, let's get this party started. As always, let me fill out the numbers of those who want to call in. Check out with your boys. The same numbers always, the 424. 243-9519 is always the number. Follow us on the Twitter, which is at number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, if you go to facebook.com/talkingsports for the 12th man or 12th man sports, you will find us as well, where we post mock drafts, hilarious videos, what we're thinking about for the day, all that fun stuff. You will find us in that arena as well. But gentlemen, let's kick this off. You know, we got some Major League Baseball to talk about, and we're going to kick it right off with you guys here. We're going to talk about what's happening on that side of the world here. So, Rob and Gary, we're going to talk about the top five teams in Major League Baseball right now. So, Rob, go ahead and kick that off, my friend, and we'll kick it to Gary as well.
Well, you know, I got to go with my Yankees right now, number one, best record in Major League Baseball right now. And, you know, the big surprise so far this year with the Yankees is the great pitching that we're getting, you know. When you talk about Gerrit Cole, Luis Severino, Jordan Montgomery doing phenomenal, and then we're getting some good pitching from the bullpen. I think there was a three-game stretch last week where the Yankees didn't give up any runs, which was phenomenal, and they obviously got the a big 10-4 lead in the top of the eighth right now against the Twins. So, and then, you know, of course, Aaron Judge leading the majors in home runs. So, obviously, a big, you know, a big great start for the Yankees. Hopefully we keep that going. I know Gary's also happy about that, too. So, definitely I got the Yankees in the number one spot. Number two, we're going to stay right in New York City. Are we going to have a Subway Series this year? So, I got the Mets.
Nope.
Right now at the number two spot. You know, going back to the Yankees, also 8-2 in the last 10 games. And the Mets also 8-2 in the last 10 games. The Mets showed a lot this past weekend by splitting the series against the Dodgers, too. I think that was a good measuring stick for the Mets. And, you know, you look at the Mets right now, Jacob DeGrom is out. Max Scherzer is out. And those are two of the top pitchers. When they get them back, that's going to be almost lights out. I mean, they're definitely a strong contender in the National League. Pete Alonso swinging the ball, swinging the bat extremely well for the Mets right now. The bullpen, they got a 3.46 ERA, they're ninth in the majors, solid. They still would like to get a little bit better in the bullpen from the Mets' perspective, but I got them at the number two spot. Then we're going to go to Los Angeles with the Dodgers at the number three spot. And the Dodgers are in a three spot, and they're somewhat underachieved this year. When you look at their pitching staff, Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler, Urias, they've all kind of underachieved. Justin Turner and Bellinger has kind of been average. Really, the only guy that's really been shining is Mookie Betts. And but they're 5-5 in their last, you know, 10 games. And I think they're down to the White Sox so far, 4-0. So they, even though I got them in the three spots, they're somewhat underachieved. If they can get their pitching, you know, going here and get, you know, Justin Turner and Bellinger going, I think they can turn that around. I'm trying to look at tonight's score. Yeah, they lost 4-0, so they were shut out by the White Sox. White Sox on a bit of a road, too, here as well. Number four, I'm going to go to the Houston Astros. Yoan Alvarez got a big, huge contract. Seems like the biggest contract for a designated DH in Major League Baseball history. And so he's swinging the bat well. Astros are 6-4 in their last 10 games. And the Padres, even without Fernando Tatis, they're, you know, right there in contention. Once they get Fernando back, I mean, they may contend with the Dodgers for that division. I mean, Manny Machado is, you know, carrying them offensively right now. But they've been a pleasant surprise, even without MVP candidate Fernando Tatis. So that's been my top five, two New York teams, two California teams, and with a team from Texas thrown in there.
Wow. Rob, you hit the nail on the head. I don't know if you guys can see this. Those were mine right there, if you can see
wow.
that. New York Yankees, Mets, Dodgers. I almost put the Astros at the three spot, but I went with the Dodgers, and then the Astros
too.
At four, and the Padres in the fifth spot. So we were spot on in our top five pick. And, boy, you know, if the season were ended right now, it could have a Subway Series. You know, that's pretty cool. You know, we'll see how it all pans out, but that's pretty neat. Yeah, Rob and I had the same exact picks this week.
You can definitely make a case
Curtis,
for
got
Houston, man, number
that?
Three. They're on a – Houston is playing extremely well there, Blake, too.
No flash. baseball has been subject to that. Their baseball team has never, it's been so long, they have why
no.
To be a baseball fan, if I was healthy, I would lay out in LA.
And watch some Griffin from that good baseball. You know, the one thing I would say about the Mariners, and Curtis knows that, and just Seattle sports, they're fiercely loyal to that team. To a fault, I think, because they don't have to put a product out there to fill that stadium. Now, if the Yankees don't put a product out there, like what they were doing before they made that run in the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, in the 80s, you know, there was a period of time where you could go to any Yankee game, you know, because they just didn't fill up because they weren't spending the bucks. And as soon as they turned that around and they started spending the money, bringing in those big free agents and all that stuff and create, you know, create a competitive winning team again, it's hard to get into those games now. You can't.
Yeah.
But that's the way it is in Seattle with a loser.
Still a dream of mine. Go to a Yankees game in Yankee Stadium. So hopefully that'll happen soon. Still a dream of mine to go to a game in Yankee Stadium. I haven't done that yet. So hopefully I'll check that out soon.
You remember that yet? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to several games there. Yeah, that's
one day, Rob.
Bucket list.
I was going to say, too, speaking of Seattle, list. I mean, in Seattle, it's tough because Seattle has, like, a place in my heart for the American League on that side because, you know, growing up, you know, when I did play baseball, I was a huge Ken Griffey fan, you know, just to see him. And then Ichiro was one of just, you know, a great player. It's sad that they never could quite make it to the World Series, one of the squads that never made it. But just you just wanted to do so well because they've always had some pretty – unique player personalities too, so it's just
they had a good team
to do well.
Randy Johnson on the
so
mound.
So just
they had a good team.
Just like I said, just have a soft spot in the heart for those. You always want that squad to do well, but just you know, like I said, that you know, obviously JQ's on the call because he
but
was love, you know, talking about Ken Griffey Sr.
You know, they just had to go up against those Yankee teams. That was the problem.
Too, kind of. Same thing
you know,
happened
so
with
that was
the Utah of the world.
And that was great
off,
because
you know,
at that time, I was based in Seattle. I'd go up there and watch the Yankees kick their ass. And they'd all have their fans on and all this stuff. And
Bernie Williams, Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera.
Yeah.
I said, Mariano Rivera.
Oh, yeah.
Bernie
I've
Williams.
I met all
they
those
can
guys.
Continue with him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Great
experience.
Well, like you said, good shout-out. Good shout-out, and it's nice to see that Curtis and Gary are chiming in, and obviously, Rob, you and Gary are on the same page with the top five here. Just a small – I know that JQ has known yet. I know he's happy that his Reds aren't the worst team, you know. And then, obviously, I want to give a shout-out to my Braves that had a nice little five-game winning streak. They haven't been playing that well, but we got a little five-game winning streak. So let's keep it going. I remember playing Oakland tonight to Matt Olson's old team, so good stuff for sure. Let's chat it up about Aaron Donald making some news. Funny how he was talking about he was retiring. The next thing you know, getting that huge, huge – contract, the highest non-QB player getting that contract, basically getting a to kind of break things down here, what, $95 million in totality? What is it, a $40 million raise over the next two seasons? What is he guaranteed, like $65 million, something crazy like that?
$65 million guaranteed over 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years, and then I guess what is it, additional $30 million something guaranteed. So no trade clause,
yeah.
Obviously. So you talk about this guy getting paid handsomely, if you will. And I guess the question is, what say you about this? Does he stay motivated if he's getting all that money? So you guys on the West Coast talking about that. So what say you about this, guys?
Well, for me, Aaron Donald is one of those guys that's just self-motivated, you know. He just hates quarterbacks, and he wants to knock them on their ass, you know. And, you know, last season he had 12 and a half sacks in the regular season, but, you know, but all the pressures that he gets and the knockdowns that he gets on top of that. And so the same thing with the postseason, you know, he had 3.5 sacks in the postseason, but he had all those hurries and knockdowns and just, you know, these quarterbacks, they're afraid of that guy. That guy is just a beast because, you know, he can take two of these offensive linemen and with either arm and just throw them aside and get to the quarterback. You know, he's 31 years of age. He's been he's the 3-time defensive player of the year. 7-time, you know, all pro. He's a guy that deserves the money. I don't think he's one of those guys that's going to change much because of the money. I don't think that he's going to hate the quarterback less. And he'll say that, too. He'll say, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to kick their ass because I hate quarterbacks. I don't even think he likes the quarterbacks on the game, too.
Come on, Gary.
Oh, man.
Gary's going off. Hey, you know what? He's even made comments like that. I don't like any quarterback.
Well, yes, you got a G back in the day. Cupcakes wearing dresses. Go ahead, Rob. We'll tell you about this. Take you on, too. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, you know, Aaron Donald, I mean, we've talked about this on the show numerous times. The guy is unblockable. His technique is second to none as far as, you know, stopping the run and as far as getting to the quarterback from the three technique defensive tackle position. I mean, he's just an immovable force. And like I said, his technique is just phenomenal. And, you know, I know one of the questions down the line, which NFC team had the best offseason move? I think this is the Rams. Signing Aaron Donald and keeping him on the team was the NFC's best offseason move. And I never thought he was going to retire, but obviously the Rams put in their money, you know, where their mouth is and keeping him on the football field, I think is a huge move. I mean, this Rams team will be in contention for another Super Bowl this year when you look at, to me, the biggest question mark on the team, maybe the offensive line, but when you look at the rest of their team, I mean, that's a huge need, too. But you look at the rest of their team, they look to be solidly intact. Stafford, they got the weapons on the perimeter. Defensively, they got playmakers on all three levels. When you talk about Aaron Donald, when you talk about Bobby Wagner now, and then we talk about the secondary as well. You know, I look at them as a contender to get back to the Super Bowl. I hope they don't, you know, but, you know, I'd rather see them over the Buccaneers. But you know, I look at them being a contender, and to me, this is the best move by any team in the NFC this offseason. So the NFC has been fairly quiet. The AFC has been there for time with all the big moves. So if you're the Rams, this is smart. I mean, he's the highest paid non-QB in the NFL. And definitely deserve it. The impact that he has on the game, the impact that he has on disrupting quarterbacks, and to the closing up the middle of that pocket is second to none. You're getting a little bit up in age at 31, but based on what we saw last year, especially that game against Tom Brady in the playoffs, he still has a huge impact. And when we look at the game he had in the Super Bowl against the Bengals, he still has a huge impact. So definitely I think this is money well spent. If you're the Rams, keep him on the fold, and now you stay a Super Bowl contender.
Hold on, JQ.
Leadership.
Yeah. He's a, I mean, think her name was win that game, but Don very much there and made a big speech. And we know what happened in the Super Bowl. It was years.
Yep.
Go ahead, JQ.
I don't have anything. I don't give a damn about Aaron Donald and his contract. What he has happened, I'm still bitter. So, yeah, whatever. You go to the next topic. I don't have anything.
Spoken like a true Cincinnati Bengal fan over there. I was going to say really quickly, if you think about Aaron Donald, we know. He was drafted number, where was he drafted? Let me see where he was drafted in the draft. He was 13th.
Was he number 11
by the Rams? I'm sorry?
Was he number 13. 11 overall?
Number 13.
13.
Number 13.
Okay.
Just a couple of people that went number one, Davion Clowney, Greg Robinson, Blake Bortles, Sammy Watkins, Khalil Michael's a good pick, Mike Evans, good pick, Justin Gilbert, Anthony Barr, Eric Ebron, Taylor Lewan, and Odell Beckham Jr. Those are the players picked in front of Aaron Donald. So obviously there's some good players in between that, but
Taylor
Lewan. Good.
I hate Taylor Lewan, Mr. Zanz, but that's a good pick for a super team.
Yes.
So I can't hate that. Yeah. But everybody else, that's and LBJ from New York. That's not a bad thing. That's definitely.
And Blake Bortles might be the worst of all those picks ahead of him, even though he took the Jaguars and won AFC Championship game. But, man, you know, Jadeveon Clowney has had some impact, you know, at the number one pick. But, yeah, there's nobody picked ahead of Aaron Donald on that draft that's made a bigger impact than Aaron Donald.
Dude,
yeah,
that dude, Jadeveon Clowney, with that hit against Michigan, has lived off that for like 10 years. That's wild.
Yeah. The Falcons picked Jake Matthews, so can't be mad at that. So that's actually pretty, you know, but obviously different impact from Aaron Donald. But just, you know, and then Mike Evans has been, you know, he got picked by Tampa Bay. So it's been interesting, but, you know, Anthony Barr, you got to go with that one. You know, Eric Ebron, you know, that's probably like a – and then Justin Gilbert did do absolutely nothing, you know, for the Browns. So, you know, that's just crazy as far as what the impact he has.
Anthony Barr has come nowhere close to having the impact.
Nope. That's true. That is 1,000% true.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good stuff. All right, gentlemen. We're moving right along here. Hopefully, we're going to talk about some NFC North predictions here. So, let's jump right in it. Rob, we'll go to you. I can't wait to hear what we got for JQ, but we'll start with Rob. What you got for this, sir?
You know, even I'm going to stick with the Packers in that first place division. I think the Packers are going to be improved, even though they, you know, they may be a little suspect at wide receiver now after the trade. But I look at every other area of that football team, it might be better. Offensive line, I expect it to be better. You still got Aaron Rodgers. I think you're going to be able to run the football a lot better this coming year. And I think their defense is going to be really good. I think their defense is Jair Alexander is going to be healthy. You know, he missed a good bit of the season. I think he's one of the best up-and-coming corners, if not one of the top five corners in the league now. So I look at them winning a little bit differently this year. But I expect them to still be a top three team in the NFC. I have them right now number three behind the Rams and Tampa. But I expect them to win the division. I think Minnesota has an outside chance of being a wild card, only because, you know, you still got Dalvin Cook, you got Justin Jefferson, you got those weapons on the perimeter, and then you hope for the best from the quarterback position.
Kirk Cousins.
Look for their offensive line to be slightly improved, and they did pick up a few defensive pieces. So I look at them to be the second spot with an outside chance of being a wild card. And I'm going to give the Bears the slight edge of number three over Detroit, number four.
No,
but I think both of those
Detroit
teams are still
– third place team.
going with Detroit?
Oh!
Detroit's going to be the third place. The Bears, and it's not just the field thing, just the Chicago Bears management suck, and they don't do a good job of filling out a good roster. Watch Detroit be the third best team in that division. And watch Detroit
put some money on that, JQ.
Watch Detroit challenge Minnesota for being the second best team in that division.
That's a bold prediction. I'm not ready to make that prediction yet. But I will give you credit if that happens. But I'm going to stick with Detroit and Chicago in a close battle for number three. But I'm going to give the Bears just a slight edge, particularly because of their defense. And so I'm going to give them a slight edge. But at some point, you got to think Dan Campbell is going to help that team and start going in the right direction. I mean, they did get a couple of first-round picks in this draft, too.
Yeah. And you watch Detroit, it's easy to beat up on Detroit. I love to beat up on Detroit because fuck Michigan. So I beat up on Detroit just off of proxy because of the Wolverines. But quietly, Michigan, that dude talks really crazy, but he had Detroit down in church that he was playing better football. He did, and it's stupid what he was talking about earlier. I was like, come on, bro. But he had them playing better ball. The reason why you can't get Detroit any higher because they have Jared Goff, right? So they still have Jared Goff.
Yep.
But the problem I have with Minnesota is I just don't trust Kirk Cousins. He has the weapons. That defense, to me, has taken, like, a step and a half back. Like, they could
did you trust
cover
Jared Goff
for the defense?
Jared Goff?
The problem is the fact that I just don't trust the Chicago organization is doing Justin Fields enough justice to push him up further. I think he could be, but you look at his weapons and his offensive line, and now you got a defense that's now declining. And the NFC North is for Aaron Rodgers to lose. Like, it's not even close.
Yeah,
I don't think he can get the number one seed, but he will always challenge for the one seed because I just think the other three teams in that division just aren't doing what they should do to get there. And again, you know how I feel about Kirk Cousins. He sucks. And he's just not going to do enough. I don't care what you put on the outside around him with Thielen and Justin Jefferson, he's going to find a way to mess it up. And Dalvin Cook in the backfield. He's going to find a way to mess it up. And like I said, that defense is not as good as it was before. So, to me, I feel like the Chicago management is why we'll push Chicago in four. I feel like that Detroit team showed a whole lot of signs of life. I think they're a little closer to Minnesota than people think they are. So I think that's a really good chase for 2 and 3, but Green Bay in a walk away for the division.
Yeah, easily.
Yep.
Go ahead, Curtis Garrett.
Well, of course, Green Bay's going to win that division. They're probably going to go, you know, they're probably going to, I don't, they probably, they might not even lose a game in the division.
They might not.
You know, so. With that said, that really gives them an advantage for the rest of their schedule. So, but the other three teams in the division, I don't know who to take because I don't trust Minnesota. I don't trust the Bears, and of course I don't trust Detroit. So I don't know who to pick. Two, three, and four in that division. But 2, 3, and four is going to be bundled way up at the bottom somewhere. I don't think there's going to be a winning record between the second team in that division. I don't think it's going to have a winning record, in my opinion.
If you play Kirk Cousins $20 million a year, they damn sure better go 8-8. They gotta go 9-8. Like,
well,
8-9
is not a winning record, so they better go 9-8.
I said 9-8. If you pay Kirk Cousins that money with Thielen, Justin Jefferson, and Dalvin Cook, even if your defense is bad, you got to go 9-8. At that point, you just got to cut that dude immediately after the season. Like, he's got weapons. If you can't go 9-8 in the NFC, to take the AFC, if you can't go 9-8 in the NFC with what Kirk Cousins has, as weapons at his disposal, then he's not that guy, and you got to cut him immediately.
Well, you know he's not that guy. Pretty solid year this last year. So he's due for another Kirk Cousins fuck-up.
I'm just saying, the NFC is not loaded. 9-8 is doable for Minnesota. It's doable. 9-8.
Christian Darrisaw, the Vikings.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Christian Darrisaw, the Vikings offensive tackle they picked in the first round in last year's 2021 draft. You know, he missed the first four games of the season. But, man, he came on really strong here in the second half of the season as one of the better young offensive linemen in the league. I expect him to have a big second year for the Vikings on that offensive line. He was really impressive, really one of the top offensive linemen in the league last year. So I think that's going to be a huge impact. And that was one of the areas you saw the Vikings start to play a little bit better in the second half of the year. He was one of the reasons. So I expect him to be a complete, you know, riser for the Vikings and have a big impact on that offensive line this year, too.
I hear you. I think we all agree that it's Green Bay's division to lose. So that's
really
We got somebody called in. Go ahead. Get your thoughts.
Chicago.
Miami. Brazil.
I've got to ask you a question, Curtis. Are you a Kirk Cousins fan? Kirk Cousins fan and Minnesota quarterback?
No.
Tell us how you really feel, Curtis.
My truth.
Yeah, your truth. Yeah.
And that's the question mark for the Vikings. We all know that, and that's the
The Broncos and the Cowboys, and that won't ever change.
All right. Go ahead.
You know, that's the question mark for the Vikings. We all know that it's Kirk Cousins, right? And that's the reason why. That's the main reason why we're picking the Packers to win the division, because Aaron Rodgers. Because when you look at the weapons that Green Bay have versus the weapons that the Vikings have, I think we will all agree that Minnesota has better weapons. When you talk about Adam Thielen, when you talk about Justin Jefferson, and we forget Irv Smith missed his was out with injury all of last year. The Vikings are getting him back at the tight end position. And all that we're hearing that that he's looking really good in workouts and expecting a big year out of him at the tight end position. So you talk about you throwing Irv Smith, you throwing Adam Thielen, you throwing Justin Jefferson, you throwing Dalvin Cook. I mean, you like the 1-2 punch that Green Bay has at running back. And like I said, I've been talking about Christian Darrisaw. I think the Vikings' O-line is going to be improved, too. It's just a matter of the quarterback position. That's why I say I still give them an outside chance of being a wild card, just because they just have so many weapons. Look at the improvement. That's the question mark, right? But, you know, other than that, you know, when you look at the NFC, which looks comparably a lot weaker than the AFC, that's the only reason I give them an outside chance of being a wild card.
So, I'm sorry, I was on mute. What I was going to say was, if you gave Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins weapons, the Green Bay Packers would be a complete problem. If you gave Aaron Rodgers, Adam Thielen, and Justin Jefferson, just book it for the NFC for Green Bay. But the Vikings have Kirk Cousins, and they don't have Aaron Rodgers, and that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
We got a caller.
I know they're going to be a wild card, but I wouldn't be surprised if they are. They got an outside chance.
They do not have an outside chance. You don't. You would not put no money on me and you, whatever you want, not whatever you want to bet, because you're a deep roller, and I can't mess with you, Rob. But there's no chance that you put money on Kirk Cousins leading the Vikings to the playoffs. You don't do it. Even in a watered-down NFC,
to the playoffs 2 years
you don't.
Ago.
Would
I'm
you
not
put money?
Him,
would you
take them to the playoffs?
Would you put?
And they went to the second round.
Would you put Delta money on Kirk Cousins this year, right now, to make the playoffs in a 17-game season?
Absolutely. No, I would
no,
not.
No, you would not.
I'm not saying that. I'm not that confident. But it wouldn't surprise me. You got to realize he took that team. He took that team to the playoffs 2 years ago, and they went to the divisional round. So they are definitely they are capable.
I get all of that.
When you look at
I'll
the NFC,
one simple question was: in this year, would you put that new Tampa Delta money on the line that Kirk Cousins takes Minnesota to the playoffs?
No, I didn't say that. I said they got an outside chance.
Then that's no point. If you ain't gonna put no money on them, you can't believe them then.
Well, they got a ton of weapons. They did go to the divisional round 2 years ago in the playoffs and lost to the 49ers. And arguably, they have just as good as weapons on the perimeter as they did then, and the offensive line might be a little better. So it's just going to come down to what they're getting at the quarterback position. But, hey, I mean, a lot of us pick the Eagles to win the NFC East. I mean,
I
Jalen Hurts has not been 10 times better than Kirk Cousins. Let's face it. Jalen Hurts, his inaccuracy outside of 30
that's
yards.
That's a different story, though. That's a different story. That's a story about what Dak Prescott and Ezekiel are not doing in the division they should dominate, and us looking at Daniel Jones in New York like, yeah, no. That to me just is a different argument. I feel like we feel like that way because they got A.J. Brown and they've had a good draft, and that defense has been pretty stellar. But I think that's more of an indictment, I'm sorry, if I'm not trying to be funny, Gary, on Dallas than it is on what we're talking about in the NFC North versus the NFC East.
Well, Dallas is going to win the East anyway. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not saying they can't. They could win that division. If that plays the quarterback that we have seen him doing in stretches, they should own that division. But the fact that he has a whole lot of games where they just don't show up where they're supposed to show up, and you saw what Philadelphia has done, that's why you feel like Philadelphia can catch them. But the thing about comparing them is that we don't feel like even this whole Kirk Cousins Minnesota conversation, you still don't feel like they would even as Kirk Cousins plays his best ball, he's not going to catch Aaron Rodgers for them to catch the Packers in that division. So we all feel like the Packers win that division. Yeah,
They got an outside chance at a wild card. I didn't say they had an outside chance of winning the division. I said they got an outside chance of winning the wild card. I mean, let's look at this. I mean, the 49ers went to the NFC Championship game last year, and guess who they had at quarterback?
We know
Jimmy
Garoppolo.
We
know that.
And I don't think any one of us would say Jimmy Garoppolo had a better year than Kirk Cousins last year. And the 49ers went to the NFC Championship game with Jimmy G at the quarterback position.
Coaching.
Who teams are not even knocking on the 49ers' door to trade for him.
That's coaching, man.
So sometimes you can do it with some of the personnel around you.
Yeah.
And
philosophies. Like the 49ers had a different philosophy on offense in that running game, and then having to be – to bring Deebo Samuel in Apple at wide receiver to running back and things they could do that Minnesota couldn't do. So, I get that. I just think it's just and you have to also think about it that San Francisco, I think, is just a better team, 1-52, right, in terms of roster than
Minnesota.
Well, they
got a better defense than the Vikings do right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're certainly a better defensive team than the Vikings. But, you know, I mean, shucks, they
beat
the Packers
in the
division round.
The 49ers.
They only scored 13 points.
And that's what the 49ers hung their hat on, is their defense
and
their running game. And they kept it out of the They kept it out of Jimmy G's hands a lot of the time. A lot of his decision-making, it was just hand the ball off or flip it over to Debo, whatever, you know. It wasn't – but Minnesota doesn't – they put more on Kirk Cousins. They want him to throw that ball. They want him to be
right.
a quarterback that he's not.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Paying me $45 million a year, though. You damn sure have to rely on him. Like, whether it's a good or a bad decision, you pay an MF for $45 million to play quarterback, he better throw the damn ball.
Kirk right, Cousins, I understand.
He's got money. In the week in NFC, you got to think about this, Phil. I mean, even before Jameis Winston got hurt, the Saints were 5-2 with Jameis Winston. And so Kirk Cousins, now, obviously the Saints had an elite defense last year, too. So we'll put that in perspective as well, and that's what the Vikings.
Correct.
That's what the Vikings are a little lacking when you compare them to the Saints and the 49ers is on the defensive side of the ball. But from a quarterback perspective, those other teams that are in contention for wild card positions, their quarterback position is not a whole lot better than the Vikings. If it's
yeah, and that's what happens when you pay an average quarterback $45 million a year. Then that's the Saints' problem. I mean, the Vikings' problem.
Mm-hmm.
Can't believe we spent so much time talking about Kirk freaking Cousins.
Sorry, not bad.
Go ahead, Kurt. The other Kurt.
Yeah, it's
wrong. I'm not a Vikings fan by any stretch of the imagination. I hate those guys.
Shit, no.
And it's K1. K9.
Well, he's got and Murray's got to show them something as well. You know, he's
yeah.
He shows
yeah,
flashes
with
of
the NFC North
really
right
nice.
Now. We can't even get
yeah.
to other divisions. That's what we're saying.
Yep.
So we've been patient. We got two callers that have been trying to say something. Naj is officially on the air. If you didn't know, Naj, what's up, bro? Is that you?
Yeah, I'm good. Clearly, everybody else is drinking. I'm sober. I don't know what's going on. Is the Kirk Cousins celebration show? Y'all got to put that man.
Hey,
what's going
this is
on?
Not a Kirk Cousins celebration show.
This is not. We were talking about the NFC North division, and, you know, obviously we're talking about the Packers going to run away with it. JQ makes a pretty bold, and I think it's a pretty good prediction that the Lions will be third in that division, if you will.
Yep.
And the Vikings will be second just because of attrition, and then, you know, you got the Bears bring up the rear, not necessarily because of, you know, just Justin Fields, but because, you know, the roster's had a lot of turnover. So, and that's kind of an interesting situation. So that's how we started. And we're thinking that Kirk Cousins, you know, he's got to be the dude because he's making $45 million. But, again, we were talking about how much rosters are better, but yet and still, he's going to still follow in Aaron Donald's footsteps, or excuse me, Aaron Rodgers' footsteps. So, yeah, that's what we're talking about now. So there you go. And 20 minutes later, here we are. Go ahead. What you got on that?
I mean, yeah, that division is interesting. Like, you expect the Packers to put it together, you know, despite losing Devontae. You expect them to kind of – A.J. Dillon probably to make a step. You expect, you know, them to throw the ball around and Aaron Rodgers get enough done. As far as the Vikings, look, Kirk Cousins is who he is. I don't know why people aren't surprised. Like, this is who he is. He's going to put up gaudy numbers because they have the skill position guys in Thielen and Jefferson and, of course, Cook in the backfield. But when it matters, 3rd and 5 in the fourth quarter, he's going to throw the ball
yep.
away or throw an interception. Like, that's who Kirk Cousins is. And it's not really a knock on him that he's paid that much. It's kind of just an evaluation of the quarterback market. He was able to command that kind of salary because guess what? There's not too many good quarterbacks. So, therefore, a mid-quarterback like Cousins comes in, ruins your cap. Now you're stuck in the middle. You can't get better, and you can't get to where you want to go because Kirk is still there. So I just look at that division like this. If Chicago can be innovative with Fields and we see some of that Lamar Jackson-type stuff with Fields, then Chicago has a chance to do something. If they try to force him to be a pocket guy like they did last year, oh, my God, it'll be a disaster again. And Detroit, yeah, I'm with JQ on that. I do like what Detroit is doing. A lot of veteran guys, a lot of young guys who are really hungry, and their staff is overqualified, basically. You got that coach who brought in people who had got passed over for head jobs, and they're kind of just loaded. So they kind of played up mm-hmm. to their – They played way past their potential last year. Now, of course, you're not going to expect the most from Jared Goff, but you're not asking them to win games. So, I'm kind of high on Detroit, too. Of course, high meaning they won't be what we normally see them as. Not that they're going to win
a whole
bunch of games.
We agree with you, JQ. Yeah, I think we agree with you. That's a good pick. Yeah, we're coming for you.
Whole lot of moral
too,
victories.
Letting you know, man. Yeah.
Whole lot of period victories.
But I think Nas makes a good point, and really, is basically the point I was basically trying to make that, you know, we're not praising Kirk Cousins, but when you look around the rest of the NFC, there's not a lot of great quarterbacks, and so that definitely puts them in competition for a wild card position, just because the rest of the conference is weak. I mean, you think about Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, you know, who else is in the NFC that stands out from a quarterback position right now?
Nobody, but that NFC West is loaded.
That's basically the point that I was trying to, you know, if you got Jimmy Garoppolo can take a team to the NFC Championship, and we know he's trash, and the Chucks, 49ers trying to get rid of
Matthew
him, just
Stafford.
Like the Browns are trying to get rid of Baker Mayfield. Yeah, Matthew Stafford, who I still don't consider to be a great quarterback, but, you know, he's got a good team around him, and they were able to win the Super Bowl. I mean, he threw a couple of picks in the Super Bowl. So that's basically the point I'm trying to make, that the quarterback position in the NFC is just all the great quarterbacks in the AFC. When you talk about Patrick Mahomes, you know, Justin Herbert, when you talk about Joe Burrow, all the great quarterbacks right now are in the AFC. And the NFC is just, you know, Tom Brady is about to be 55 years old. Aaron Rodgers is about to be 45 years old.
Don't say that. Aaron Rodgers is like 8 days younger than me. Don't do that to me.
this guy. Go ahead, Rob.
So we're waiting to see who that next quarterback is going to step up in the NFC.
Well, you know what's crazy about it? You know what's crazy? We talk about it, though, and I'll give it to you here, Gary. I just feel like that we are – like, I really feel like Cleveland might try to get out of that Deshaun Watson contract off of the code of conduct policy. And I feel like in a year or two, you're going to see some movement from the AFC to the NFC. Like, you remember when the East in the basketball and NBA was so terrible and the West was so loaded, and we were like, wow, how is this ever going to change? And now you've seen the movement to the East in the NBA. I feel like that's going to happen for football. We just don't know how it's going to happen quite yet. But I really feel like somebody's going to look up and be like, you know what, F this, man. I am going to the NFC where I can go to the NFC, like you said, to the NFC Championship game, because there ain't nobody over there to stop me. So we just don't know how it's going to happen. But I really feel like it's going to happen over the next 2 or 3 years. You just can't sustain that with the AFC has having the AFC. NFL is going to be tired of fucking playing good ball and barely making the playoffs and getting knocked out. They're going to want to go to the NFC. It's going to shift. I really do.
Yep. It always does. It's a pattern. Just like you say in the NBA now, the depth is more in the East, where the West is more – the West still is top-heavy in basketball, but the depth is in the East. And right now you see that in football, the depth is definitely in the AFC. I mean, you got 10 or 11 teams that potential playoff contenders in the AFC right now.
Yes.
More than half the conference.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And where the NFC, it's still, you know, you – I mean, 7 teams will go to the playoffs. You might have 8 teams that are playoff contenders in the NFC. Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Yeah. 8.
Yeah. I don't like football. I think this is Tom Brady and I don't want him to be set up to win the Super Bowl again and then get leave football. And in a way, it looks like that's what
when I failed my that happened.
Well, if they get there, he's going to have a shot. He always does when he plays in the big games. We always count him out. Nice. We were grateful he was retiring, and then he came back. So,
well, I mean, but look at that, man. He saw what was look at that, look at the NFC. I can say what's going on, you know, literally. But
just ping me when they release the future bets of him not playing 10 games this year on the board. Let me know when that's out there, because I'm taking it. Like, yeah, he's done this time after time, but guess what? That happens until it doesn't. Eventually, he's the old man who can't get away from the rush, and he goes down like all of the other all-time greats. When we saw the end of Aikman, when we saw the end of Steve Young, like, this is what happens. Eventually, football retires you. So, yeah, let me know when that's online. I'm putting down on that heavy as soon as it's available.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I know.
I'm hoping it's this year.
We got about 10 minutes to the show because we just could not get away from the Love Fest with Kirk Cousins and the NFC North conversations, but it was good stuff. But, Rob, let's talk about the NBA mock draft here a couple weeks out from that and your thoughts about what's happening and kind of talk and go around the room and we can wrap up the show, if you will. So go ahead, Rob.
Follow.
All right, I'll do what I normally do, go over the top 10 picks, and then I'll go over our teams. And I don't know who Nod's favorite team is, so he'll have to tell me, let me know. I don't know if it's the Hawks like Andre or not. But
Top 10.
What's that?
Whatever the point spread says, that's my favorite team.
Las Vegas. Las Vegas Nod, that's what we're going to call them. All right. Orlando, I still got them taking Chet Holmgren at the number one pick. I know we had a nice debate about that on last week, and it seems like the organization is 50-50 right now, and they've narrowed it down to Holmgren and Jabari Smith. So it looks like their front office is 50-50 between Holmgren and Jabari Smith. So it'll be interesting to see where they go. But Holmgren's got a really good offensive game. He can shoot the ball. He's a really good shot blocker, rim protector, off-the-ball rim protector, and on-the-ball rim protector. Got him at the number one spot. Got Jabari Smith at the number two spot. He's got a smooth shot, a really good stretch four. Got him going to Oklahoma City. I got Banchero from Duke on number three to Houston. Jaden Ivey, tremendous athlete at the guard position. 6'4", you know, most NBA scouts got him at the two position. I would really like for him to transition to a point guard spot at 6'4", but he definitely has the athleticism to play the two in the NBA. I got Keegan Murray, another stretch four from Iowa, power forward, great shooter, averaged over 23 points a game at Iowa, having gone number five to Detroit. Shaedon Sharpe, shooting guard from Kentucky. We never saw him play. But, you know, you look at his college tape and all of his workouts leading up to the draft, he could go as high as number four. I have him going six right now in Indiana. Portland, I got him taking A.J. Griffin, small forward from Duke, extremely good outside shooter, shot the ball over 44% from three-point range. He could be one of these guys that could be a 3-and-D guy in the NBA, can defend long arms and shoot the ball. And I got the Pelicans going with the national champion from Kansas, Agbaji, shooting guard, could probably come in and help them right away. You know, just, you know, one of the few seniors here going high in the draft. The Spurs, I got to take him, Jeremy Sochan, right up the road, Baylor. I mentioned this on last week's show. The guy to me is a Dennis Rodman lookalike. He's got the blonde hair. He changed his hair from blonde to orange. And he's just a nuisance on the court, man. He's just a rebounding machine. He gets in your face like Draymond Green. He's that kind of player. I think he'll definitely bring a physical mentality wherever he gets drafted. And they got Washington taking Benedict Mathurin, swingman from Arizona, who's really good in the open floor and a pretty good defender as well. So that's the top 10 for our viewers out there, or listeners, I should say. You can see the rest of it on our Talking Sports with a 12-man page. The rest of Portland's draft, Portland has a couple of picks in the second round. I got him taking Dalen Terry from Arizona at the 36th pick, 6'7", defensive stopper, really good athlete. And the thing about him, he can defend almost all five positions on the court. So he's definitely one of those guys for positionless basketball. Can definitely even play some point guard or point forward too. He can definitely handle the ball. And then in his second-round pick, I got him taking Khalifa Diop from Senegal, 6'11", 240 pounds, really good rebounder, a true center, can run the floor, just has to work on his offensive game. And then the Hawks in the first round, I got him taking Dyson Daniels, who I think is a real sleeper in this draft. He might slip into the top 10 or the top 12. 6'6", has handles, a really good defender, has really improved his outside shot. So I think he has the outside, I think he's got LiAngelo Ball kind of ability. I think he does. I don't know if he's going to be that good, but I think he has that kind of ability. He's got that size, 6'6", can really handle the ball, played in a professional in Australia last year, 6'6", like I said. He's got a 7'2 wingspan of 6'6". Unbelievable length as well. In the second round, I got the Hawks taking Harrison Ingram, 6'7", a freshman from Stanford, averaged 10.7 rebounds. The only other freshman to average at least 10.7 rebounds was Banchero from Duke. He's a really good athletic guy, 230 pounds. Needs to improve his shot, though. He only shot like 30% from three-point range, but he does have the strength. He does have the athleticism. But he definitely just needs to improve his outside shot. And then the second round, I got the Pelicans taking J.B. Davidson, freshman from Alabama, five-star recruit from Letterhatchee, Alabama. I know they produce five-star basketball players from Letterhatchee, Alabama, but five-star recruit, up-and-down freshman year at Alabama, 6'3". Obviously, he led the team in assists. He came up big in an upset against Baylor in big game competition. Definitely a guy you would have liked to see stay in college to improve his draft stock. But I hate Alabama, so leave. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be that selfish, right? But and lastly, the second round, I got the Pelicans taking Dominic Barlow, power forward from Overtime Elite. 6'9", definitely got a good inside-outside game, solid defender. Just want to see him against some better competition. And held his own in workouts, but I still got him being a second-round pick as of right now.
Good stuff.
Good stuff about Paolo.
We're going to hold on real quick, JQ. We're going to go ahead and do the OT really quickly. We'll let everyone chime in on their thoughts about that, and we'll wrap up the show, too. So Rob is going to wrap us up, man, because literally we're 2 minutes into this, man. So go ahead.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, the show went by fast tonight. We got into a nice little debate. JQ's favorite quarterback, Kirk Cousins. I know he's going to draft him on the fantasy team. So, he's tricking us right now, but he's going to draft him on the fantasy team.
You never see me draft Kirk Cousins. Fuck Michigan State. All right, go ahead.
Don't be fake. Any of our fantasy football listeners, beware. You know, he's trying to play those mind games with you so y'all don't draft Kirk Cousins. That's what he's shooting for in the draft. But anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, thank y'all for tuning in. Obviously, we like to have a lot of fun. Thank y'all for tuning in. We'll be back at you on next Tuesday night. Next Tuesday night, it's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern. Boston, we want to hear from y'all in the NBA Finals. I know y'all competing for a championship, but I'm glad y'all baseball team sucks. Red Sox, keep losing, baby. All right, Central Time Zone. In JQ's hometown, Cincinnati, that's going to be 10 p.m. Make sure y'all tune in. We want to hear from y'all talking about the Bengals for the season and what you guys think they're going to do coming up. And then, of course, Albuquerque is going to be 9 p.m. on Tuesday night for y'all in Albuquerque. And in the Bay Area, San Francisco, Oakland, cheering for the Warriors. We want to hear from y'all the next week. It's going to be 8 p.m. on the West Coast on next Tuesday night. We look forward to hearing from all of you all. Be safe, everyone. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live, so click on the same link the rest of the week, and we got some more excitement for you all to listen to. Good night, people.
Listen, I'm gonna be honest fan with you. They're gonna go 10-7. The Bengals will go 10-7 into the wild card, and we'll see what happens after that. But yeah, come on, man. Paulo and Gerald in Houston. Woo wee. If Paulo falls to third to Houston and they got Gerald with him, that's a nice starting block for Houston. I'm not a Rockets fan, but if you want to build through the draft, that's not a bad way to do it. I appreciate everybody for listening to the show. For sure, y'all hit the sub and let us know what you think about the show, and cuss me out if you want to, but I'm still going to say what I'm going to say, so whatever. Bye.
Hey, speaking of Houston, they got two first-round picks, too. I got them taking Osmond Dean from France, another athletic wing player, too.
You lost everybody when you said from France.
Hey, man, also,
Charles Barkley said you got to pronounce things right. It's called athletic, sir. You got to pronounce that right.
Oh, goodness gracious. Guy's on fire. I love it. No,
Charles Barkley.
Keep going, Rob. Keep it going.
I don't know who's worse between him and Patrick Beverly on TV. But they are entertaining.
Thanks. No, hey, I'm with everything with the draft, but the one angle I would throw out there, which I think is going to be the surprise of the draft, I think Chet falls. I think Chet has either a ceiling as high or higher than everybody else in the draft, but I think the bust rate is really high just because of just the weight issue, man. It's like, okay, does the weight happen? Does he put the weight on and you know, things proceed as they should? Or does he become a junior guy
week.
Who never has a position? And how many GMs
I missed that dude on the podcast. I said the same thing last week. That's why I feel like Paulo should go number one, but I could be wrong.
Chet is not going to go no lower than number two. I mean, I'm almost willing to guarantee that.
I hear you, but
Chet's not going to go no lower.
Yeah. Because
you
got
to remember, man, when you draft somebody at that position, your career is tied to that person. If you draft Chet and the weight thing doesn't work out, there's a little fear there. And I think we're going to see, I think we're going to see the GM show that they're cowards and don't have the ability to go for the potential. And I think he slides a bit. Now, of course, I ain't talking out of the top. I ain't talking crazy, but I don't think he gets picked where he should because people get scared.
I don't know. I still don't see him going no past number two.
So let me ask you this. Would you take Chet, Jabari, or Paulo number one if you was the GM and had the number one pick?
I'd take Jabari one, Paulo two. And I got to have some serious backing from ownership if I'm going to take Chet. So somebody like your boy down at OKC who has job security beyond belief, he could do it. But can everybody do it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But see, we're talking about that too, Dodge, is that, you know, and again, different players, you know, different structure, because we were saying how, you know, we're going to bring up the Kevin Durant example, because Kevin Durant was pretty skinny coming out too. Now, again, Chet was not Kevin Durant. We know that in college. Kevin Durant was just a beast. We get that. But we're just talking about, again, how slight Kevin was coming out too. Now, obviously, different player, different situations, but at least coming in, Chet can at least get you some block shots. He can.
Way different. But Kevin was a professional buck getter from a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Kevin Durant was a
lead
scorer coming out of college.
We know that. That's what I'm saying. But, we know that. That's why I'm not comparing Chet to Kevin on that type of scoring level. I'm talking about as far as his size, because Kevin wasn't this huge player. Yeah, physique player. So that's all.
We got that infamous story from the draft workout where they said, oh, he could only lift the bar. You couldn't put any weight on it. And you remember that justifies some people in saying, well, take Greg Oden. Because clearly there's some question marks. Now, years later, those people look insane because you didn't take the slam dunk obvious choice. And it's
I understand that Kevin could barely lift the bar. But Kevin, his freshman year at Texas, could still score buckets.
35.
And we know that Chet cannot score buckets at where he is right now. So I get that in terms of the strength comparison. But Kevin was a professional bucket getter. That Chet is not, let's say, Kevin said,
that.
Keep his name but, out your mouth.
Yeah, we agree with that. We agree with that. We agree with that.
Here,
we agree with that.
Thing.
All we're talking about is physique. That's the only thing. That's the only comparison.
Kevin,
from that perspective. Go ahead, Rob.
I know we bring up Kevin Durant, but to me, the closer comparison is Anthony Davis. When you look, Anthony Davis, you go back and look at his freshman year in college, he was
rolled over his grade.
He was extremely
Anthony Davis is rolling over
Davis.
His grade.
Right.
You compare Chet Holmgren and Anthony
Davis,
he's rolled over in his grade.
Yeah. Let me finish. But Anthony Davis was nowhere near the scorer that Chet Holmgren is coming out of college. Anthony Davis did not even have an outside shot in his freshman year. Anthony Davis was an elite defender on that team, and he was loaded with talent at Kentucky. But Anthony Davis, Chet Holmgren can shoot the ball from the three-point range. He's got the mid-range game. He's got the little mini hook. Anthony Davis was not that polished on the offensive end. I think Anthony Davis was a little bit more athletic than Chet Holmgren. But Chet Holmgren is an elite shot blocker, similar to what Anthony Davis was coming out of high school. I mean, I'm sorry, out of college. Chet Holmgren averaged almost close to five blocks a game coming out of college, similar to Anthony Davis. To me, that's the closest comparison.
If you was the GM in the Pelicans and you had the number one pick in this draft, you would not take Chet Holmgren. You wouldn't. You wouldn't.
I would definitely take him with Jabari Smith. Jabari Smith, I think, is going to be a big-time stretch four. I definitely think Jabari Smith is a big-time stretch four. Now, to your point, JQ, I think Banchero might be I think he's got a better chance to being an impact player right away. I think Holmgren and Jabari Smith long-term are going to be better players than Banchero, and I think that's why they're going to go one or two over Banchero. I do think Holmgren and Jabari Smith long-term are going to be better players than Banchero.
The problem with Chet is if he turns sideways, he's so skinny, he disappears.
Yep.
That's how damn skinny he is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
The same thing with Anthony Davis coming out of college.
You know what?
He wasn't that skinny.
I looked at some film on Anthony Davis. Because you brought that up last week. And he wasn't as skinny. He wasn't as skinny as Chet. That's what worries me is now he's going against the big boys. And if his metabolism just can't, he just can't add size, he's screwed. He's got all the upside in the world if he can put some, size on. But if he can't,
I tell you this, I've said this in the last call. We had this conversation a couple years ago. You had Markelle Fultz go one. You had Lonzo Ball go two. And you had Jason Tatum go three. It feels a whole lot like that right now.
Yeah.
Which three would you – who would you rather have out of those three right now? You rather have Jason Tatum?
Jason Tatum.
By a whole bunch. And I feel like you're going to look up in two or three years and have the same conversation and say, damn, we should take Paul out. I feel like it's the same conversation.
But that's the tip of the iceberg on this. But the other part is this. If you don't draft Chet and he becomes what he's supposed to become, then you miss the next progression of evolution of a basketball player, meaning a guy this big who now becomes your pace and space guy who can handle, you know, multiple positions, shoot it, block shots, small ball five, even if he grows into it. Like, all of that could happen. But, again, his bust rate is higher than everybody else. The safer picks are probably
way higher.
And Jabari. So,
that's true.
We like to do this as just looking at players' games, and it's like, it's deeper than that because you got to think about ownership. Does ownership support the GM? Is the person comfortable carrying this with them for the rest of their career because they will be defined by the Chet pick? So that's where it gets dicey, man. So it's hard to say who's going to do it.
Yeah, you
and
can
if
have
you're Orlando.
You can
are you really going to have Chet on the bench behind Wendell Carter and Mo Bamba? And justify that to the fans? Like, he has to play if you're in Orlando.
See, here's the thing.
That's fine.
I don't think I don't think Chet is a center going into the league. I look at Chet as more of a forward. So I would not put him to paint the beam down low just yet, especially at that weight.
Right.
I think Chet to be more of a versatile forward, you know, guy that can step out and hit the outside shot, the guy that's going to be a rim protector off the ball. What you've seen out of him in college, he's an on-the-ball shot blocker, but he's also an off-the-ball shot blocker. Giannis, to me, is a tremendous – I'm not comparing him to Giannis, so I'm not saying that. But
hey,
you know,
hey,
look at Giannis'
hey,
name.
Giannis had to grow into his body, too.
But then again, you think he's skinny. Go back and look at Giannis when he came in the league. He was thin as bones, too. But the point I'm trying to make is Giannis is a tremendous off-the-ball shot blocker. You see that in Chet's game. And he's got great swing. He's a tremendous off-the-ball shot blocker, similar to what Anthony Davis was coming out of college and similar to what you see out of Giannis' game, too. But Giannis was another one. I mean, you look at him, and he was extremely skinny. I just sent y'all a picture, Anthony Davis' college picture, too. And Chet Holmgren is about 2 to 3 inches taller than Anthony Davis, too.
He went that,
hey, listen,
yeah, but he's way more slight than these guys. Like you guys are saying, okay, he don't have to play center. He can play the four. But even in that, you're going to have responsibilities that require you to deal with a big. So when a guy is shoving you the stanchion out of bounds and getting offensive rebounds, can he really even stay on the floor without fouling if you have to deal with big?
Yeah.
And, you know, as athletic as he is, he's not quick enough to guard wings. So, I mean, if he's going to get on the floor, you're kind of going to have to deal with the Draymonds of the world.
Yeah, he's going to have to get stronger. There's no doubt about it. But I think what you're going to see is these personal trainers that these NBA teams have, I think the question that you ask yourself, does he have the frame to add muscle? And the answer to that question is yes. He does have the frame where he can put on another 30 to 40 pounds. I mean, Anthony Davis was barely 200 pounds when he came out of college. Now he's like 254 pounds. So he put on a lot of muscle.
Yeah, but he was
singularly
Chet Holmgren
has
strong,
the frame.
I tell you like this. I'm the dude that said you shouldn't have traded to get Trey, and I'd rather have Luka over Trey. I'm the same guy that's going to sit here on the show and say and own that statement for the duration of their careers, and I'll own it. Whether Luka does whatever he does and Trey does whatever he does, I will stand on the same thing where I'd rather have Powell over Chet. And if I'm wrong, I will stand on this call and be 100% wrong. I'm the same dude that had to be wrong about freaking Chris Middleton. Oh, get a damn championship ass when he just caught fire for no reason. Like, so I will own that. I will own that as a call, as a talker on this show. Mm-hmm. I will own that piece of it, but I'm just saying I'd rather have Luke over Trey. I'd rather have Powell over Chet. And I'll stay on that for the next 10 years.
Well,
I agree
with you.
Luke over Trey. I'll take Luke over Trey because he's just more versatile.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's wrong on this. I don't think either position is wrong. I just think ultimately we're talking about a situation where we wish we had access to the war rooms of these teams because somebody's going to pound the table for Chet and somebody else is going to pound the table for why they should not. And that's where this is going to get interesting, man.
And based on all the reports, the Orlando Magic's front office is 50-50 right now. Nodge says
well,
they got 50% of the organization banging on the table for Chet. And they got the other 50% of the organization banging on the table for Jabari Smith right now. So it seems as though they've definitely narrowed it down to those two players. And you know, we'll see. I've said this several times, too. I think these top three players is 1A, 1B, and 1C. I don't think there's that much of a difference between these three players. I just personally would just give the slightest of edge to Chet. I don't think they can go wrong. I think Jabari is going to be a great stretch four in this league. And I think Banchero is going to be more of a traditional power forward. He's going to get most of his buckets in the paint. But I don't think you can go wrong. These three players are clearly the top three players in the draft. And it's really more of a 1A, 1B, and 1C. I just think it's, you know, what your preference is going to be. The only reason I would pick Chet over the pick number one, just because of the defensive impact that he'll bring to the game. And I think his offensive game is just as good or just as good as the other two.
Well, I would tell you like this.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to wait to talk to y'all about this because I feel like I'm going to be so right and y'all going to be so wrong.
Well, hold on. No one... Let me ask y'all this one question because I want to hear y'all opinion on this. Who gets a longer leash on development, those other two guys or Chet? Because we got to factor in the bigotry of an American-born white player to where people are so quick to call him a bust. The idea of that skinny guy not working out and then the media narrative being run out that he's a – like, y'all got to factor that into this conversation too. Jabari and Paolo, they're young and people give them time. I don't think Chet gets proper time. I think he's going to be unfairly criticized and ridiculed if things don't go well.
Because he's going to suck. It's not going to be because of that. It's because he's going to suck. And I feel like Paolo's got that killer in him, and he's going to play that wing position. You have to have
you have to have
the athletic wing position player. I'm sorry. You look at it with a Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, you have that wing player who can go get his own shot and have that dog in him. I feel like Paolo has that dog in him. And they're going to look up and say, damn, we messed up. I'm going to stand on that. I feel like he's going to prove out to be the far superior player to Jabari and Chet. Jabari's motor doesn't run. Jabari's motor runs like Anthony Davis's motor runs. He plays when he wants to. You see glimpses of it, and you're like, damn, he is a beast. And then you walk in, and then you see him in another game, and you're like, what the hell is he doing? And he gets comfortable. I don't think you have that with Paolo. I think Paolo is a complete dog.
All right. We're going to let Curtis and Gary wrap this
and
up.
And, you know,
but,
with the game
being
such an outside game right now, that's the one area of Paolo's game he's going to have to improve. He's going to have to improve on his outside shot.
He's going
to
get there.
To me, he's more of a traditional four, and he's going to get most of his buckets in the post. But if he can develop an outside shot, I mean, he's going to be, like I said, I don't think you're going to go wrong with any of these top three players. There's not a lot of difference in these top three players. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of difference. It's more of a 1A, 1B, 1C with these three players. I think Jabari Smith, he's played 2 years in college, whereas Chet and Paolo played 1 year of college. So he might have a little bit of a shorter leash just because he has a little additional experience. I think the other team might be a little bit more patient with Chet and Banchero.
And that tells you everything you need to know about Jabari, that he has all that God-gifted athleticism. He had to play 2 years when he should have only played one.
Well, I can tell you, I think we got you. You know, JQ, I think we're right. And I think we're all in a sort of agreement here, you know, besides Rob. We'll let Rob talk about this next week. But I'm just going to say, I do agree with you that Chet has the highest bust potential. 1,000% agree with you on that.
Yes.
I was just commenting on a couple of things as far as my argument was more or less like his physique, you know. So, again, he's a skinny guy. We're not comparing him to – I agree with Rob in the comparisons between Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis. That's what I was bringing to that table too. Doesn't say that he's going to be the elite scorer like Kevin Durant. I wouldn't say that at all. I was just saying again, if a player like Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis can make it and he gets bulked up, there's a possibility. But on the flip side, again, there's a greater possibility of him being a bust player. But, again, if he's great, you know, we'll never know. That's the whole crapshoot thing again. So – we'll have to see how we're. I know you can. You're gonna sit there and I'm gonna die on this hill. Agree with that. I appreciate that. But that's kind of how the argument, how I bring it to. And I know Rob has a little different take on that too, because obviously I know he watches a little bit more college in that perspective too. But it's just great to hear these conversations, because again, we're gonna be sitting back on June 7th like, damn, remember whenever we talked about this, and who knows what's gonna happen? Somebody's gonna be right. Somebody's gonna be wrong. As far as you know,
they're
and
saying,
we'll see. You know.
Yeah. Remember when JQ told us we was bullshitting, and he told us who the guy was going to be, and he was that dude?
No,
June 7th.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you that Chet could like who knows about Chet? Chet could be a bust. He could be Porzingis. He could – is he Andre Flinko?
I'm just
– Dirk Modesty.
I'm just
– I know.
Messing with you, bro.
Yeah, good. I know you are. I'm just saying, it's all great, because like, man, we don't know who hasn't crystal the ball, right? Who's going to know that this player is going to be this and that? You know, you knew that Jason Taylor is going to be better. You know, you just never know. You know, that's the whole exciting part about it. So, you know, again, and I agree. You know, like I said, Luka, you're always going to try to put me Luka versus Trey, man. You know, again, I get it, man. Damn, you know, big versus
no,
small. Get
I,
it. Versus
I wasn't,
small,
I wasn't,
know,
I wasn't, I wasn't,
but,
I wasn't going at you. But I mean, that's a healthy debate that, that still happens because they were traded for each other
all the time.
So you have to have
all
that Trey versus Luka argument.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying.
All
I felt
time.
That way
yep.
at the time. I still feel like I'm right at the time, and I feel like I'm going to be right in this time.
Fair enough, and that's fair.
Well,
I appreciate that.
That was about American arrogance, where we basically said, "Well, I mean, it's the Euro League, yeah, whatever." No, the kid was MVP at 16. You take the kid.
Right.
Now, that sounds simple now, but back then, everybody had a lot of questions about, and then when you look at Luka's physique, I could see why people were like, yeah, I don't know if this is going to translate. And, of course, those people were hilariously wrong. And if you're Atlanta, yeah, you would rather have Luka than Trey. But
yep.
that's a hell of a consolation prize. You got Trey Young, who's probably going to be a Hall of Famer, multiple-time All-Star, great guard. That's not your problem. The problem is the other
NBA,
positions. So it is
NBA Hall of Fame. NBA Hall of Fame was a lot easier to get into than any other Hall of Fame. Can we make
well, I mean,
that argument? Can we just go ahead and say that?
Second year though, like Trey's pretty good.
No. Like, but the NBA Hall of Fame was a lot easier to get into. It takes blood, sweat, and tears, and a whole lot of politics and some other shit to get into the MLB and NFL Hall of Fame. Like you can be
gotcha.
Just okay and make the NBA Hall of Fame. I'm just. It's just the difference between the leagues, and it's not a bad thing.
Yeah,
it's just
but guys
what it
who
is.
Are okay don't average 28 points in their second year. Like, Trey's really good, man. So, you know.
But I will say this. I promise Chris, Gary, I'm trying to get you guys. All I'm going to say about the last thing.
Oh,
no,
we're good with this.
And that's yeah. but that's a good point because, again, that, there's a lot of things with Luka. Like he was in the – you still don't know he's going to transfer. You still don't know. It's still a crapshoot. You would take Luka based
oh, yeah,
upon
you
the
know.
76-8. Yes.
No, you're
I'm just saying,
you're a Hawks fan, but you know.
Bro, come on.
You know.
Come,
you know.
JQ.
Come on, man.
Come on.
You know.
Come on.
I think Phoenix.
Do you really know?
Smoke
do you really know?
Atlanta did.
Yes, I do. I feel like I know. I feel like Luka's going to be way better than Trey. I feel like I know at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah,
I do.
You think he's way better than Trey?
Hold on.
Way better.
Yes.
Before we do that one-to-one comparison, the actual people who deserve to smoke are the Phoenix Suns. They got DeAndre Ayton, who they didn't want to give an extension to. They're the ones to laugh at. The Hawks came out okay. They got Trey and
right.
another lottery pick the following year. So I can't
right.
even knock the Hawks for what they did. Now, Phoenix?
No, you got Cam.
No.
You got Cam. No. You got Cam Reddish in that trade, and he is no longer an Atlanta Hawk.
Yeah, that part hurts.
Facts. Facts.
But again,
that's a true
DeAndre
statement.
Ayton was the number one pick.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, though, if you can't say that, well, we got this and that. You got Cam Reddish out of that trade, and he is no longer an Atlanta Hawk. That's
hey,
a true statement.
Can I just say that? Why does
you
Ron
got
Kevin
Knox
66 women for massages, man? Why he has to have 66 women for massages? Can I just ask that?
No. Let me know if y'all
man.
Want to talk about
come
that.
Come on, man.
I'm always ready to talk about that.
Why are we going to have 66 women? I'm just saying. Why? I just see like 20. Why 66? Damn. All right. That's my two cents.
Now we must get into not only his
no,
great Christian background, where he was ashamed of some of the things that he liked, that where he felt this was a way to do what he wanted to do without the stigma.
No.
of how it would be perceived. So this is where you get this boy, Deshaun Watson. Every other athlete, y'all know, if they got a masseuse, they got one who's their favorite, and maybe they got a backup. This dude is looking over Instagram and flipping through, looking at girls, and, oh, I'm going to go to that one. Do people understand that this dude could have got robbed so many times by
yes.
a woman just waiting on him to show? Like, yeah. So the question is, okay, was it illegal? Yeah, it gets dicey there. Really, no. That's why they're not pursuing this case. This case, as far as you know, court they're taking to civil court. But is it immoral? I think we all agree it was immoral, and it gets dicey because it's his word against their word about what happened.
It's
didn't
not immoral.
Have consent.
This dude is a
didn't
NFL quarterback, and he was trolling Instagram chicks, and it was with it until they wasn't with it. I'm not even gonna go with you. This is some bullshit as far as I'm concerned with Deshaun Watson. They knew who he was. They knew the money he was working with. I'm with you. He said, man, I am a young, good-looking black dude, and I make hella money. Y'all talk about rubbing my balls or what? And they said, yeah, until they said no. And then, I'm sorry, go ahead. It's,
Hey, man, when you're paying people $150, I mean, are you really paying for discretion? Like, come on, dude. Not only was he cheap, again, morally, you can say whatever you want to say, man, but these are dicey situations. It's you one-on-one with a person. You're saying it was consensual. Some of them are saying it was not consensual. And the fact that you just...
consensual. You know it's consensual. Stop that.
Hold on. The predatory nature of you picking out just women from random women from Instagram who you knew needed the money. Like, come on, man. Exploitation always looks for people in need so that therefore they can get off on them. Like, dude, he had access to a masseuse at the facility. He had access to professional masseuse that other NFL players use and recommended. He chose this route for a reason. And you can't get around that,
yeah.
Don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
he was just trying to knock chicks off. But I've never been 6'4 and could throw a ball 65 yards on a dime and get paid $25 million a year where I could get on Instagram and she'd be like, ooh, that's Jaquan Jenkins. Yep, he's flying me from here to here and set me up at the Four Seasons. Yeah, like I never had that problem. So I can't say what I would or wouldn't do, but
this man was in Houston. They falling out of
man,
Houston.
That dude,
he could go to any
that
ball,
dude
club,
was,
whatever, and make that happen.
Yep.
Why did it have to
you
be
right?
In this specific way? That's what you have to ask yourself. Like, come on, man.
That's what he felt like he wanted to do, but these chicks, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dre, in West Coast. I'm sorry. I'm like this. You know who Deshaun Watson's ass is. You know who he is.
That was my bad for opening up that can. That was my bad. Curtis Garrett, it's been fun. You got your last thoughts before we really, really wrap this up. This is it. This is it.
Curtis, do you have anything?
I don't.
Come on, Gary. Don't be like that.
I'm going to say, yeah, it's true that this is great.
Golden State.
From Golden State. He's living in your head and coming up to the line of almost picking up the game. He's got they're going to win this food. If you just pissed out of a game, then last month, he's going to win this food. Go for me. Pissed off. Pretty much pissed off. Green. Running is NBA fine.
Well, Curtis, did you guys hear him clear? What Curtis was saying is, you know, really it was, you know, it's up to Draymond Green, and he's saying how he plays continuing in this series. If he gets out of control and gets kicked out of a game, you know, that's going to cost, that could cost the Warriors. If he stays within himself, plays his game, stays in the game without, you know, getting in trouble, then Golden State has a good shot at winning.
But they've already showed you that they won't kick him out. He came out in game two acting a complete donkey from the first minute and got that first technical and then put his feet on Jaylen Brown and then pushed him and then pulled his pants down and tried to and still talked trash the whole game and never got the second technical foul. Jaylen Green he's one of those guys you hate if he's on your team, but if he's on your team, you love him. He played the game and he knew good and well they weren't going to kick him out of that game. And the fact that he got emboldened to do that in game two means that what keeps him from doing that in games three, two, whatever? Why would you not have the same strategy?
That would be, you know, he did
get ejected against the Cavs in a few finals ago, and he kicked LeBron James in the nuts? And he got ejected, and he was suspended the next game.
But that's my point. They've learned from that, and they could have kicked him out in this game, and they didn't. And I think that unless he just does something so ridiculously over the top where you have to kick him out, he can toe the line and keep his team with that competitive edge and not get kicked out. I think he fouled the line, and he knows that he has it now. I really believe that.
But you guys know how I feel about the Warriors.
Y'all know I don't like the Warriors.
I think he's going to get ran out of the game quicker. I think the officials are going to take it personal, and he's going to get thrown out for something lesser now. I think he actually put a target on his own back by pushing it too far.
I don't know.
Here's my take on it. I don't know if that would be that much of a problem. You bring Looney in, you play one of the other guards, I think everything goes as usual. Look, Draymond is more talk than he is play at this point, man. I hate to say it.
I think he has an impact on the team. He has an impact on the game. He definitely
Intangible
has an impact on the game. Here's my take on it. You all know I don't like the Warriors. As a matter of fact, I hate the Warriors, right? But I definitely don't think he did anything egregious in that game to be the I'm going to be as objective as possible. I don't think he did anything egregious to where he deserved to be.
He was barking on the referees to the point where Rasheed Wallace said, damn, man, you can talk to him like that? Like, no.
Thank you. He got that first technical and knew that they didn't want to throw him out the game. I would not. He got that first one earlier and said, they're not going to throw me out of this game, and continued down that line, and they didn't. I don't think he was
he told the line just enough to stay in the game. I don't think he was overly egregious the way he needed to get ejected. Was I hoping he'd do something stupid to get ejected? Yes, because I don't like the Warriors, right? I think he told the line just enough to stay in the game, but I don't think he was egregious enough to where he deserved to be ejected. That's just my opinion. And I hate the Warriors. I wanted them out of the game, just like I want Curry out of the game, just like I want Thompson out of the game, just like I want them all out of the game.
Whoa, no. If you want them to lose, wait a minute, man.
So you foul a dude, and then you put your feet on that dude's head, and then you push that dude. And then he gets mad and stands up, and then you pull his shorts down, pulling yourself up, and then you get in his face after you already have one technical. Anybody else not named Draymond Green is kicked out of that game when they do all those things in succession. You know it. You know they get kicked out of that game.
I respect the officials saying we don't want to be a part of the narrative. We don't want to be the ones that change the balance in this game. We're going to do what we do. But now that all of this conversation about what Draymond did and them not getting at him, like I said, I think it's going to be a quicker tee, and I think he's going to end up getting thrown out one of these games. But, again, I don't think that spells doom for Golden State, man. You lose your emotional leader, but, man, put Looney in there and bring Poole off the bench.
You're minimizing what Draymond does for that offense in terms of his screen setting and his ability
his
to decide
his passing ability.
I think you're minimizing what he does.
I don't fucking agree with that. Here's the thing about that game the other night. You know, you look at it, Golden State's defense won that game the other night. As good as Jordan Poole and Steph Curry was, Golden State defensively was phenomenal in that game, and Draymond Green had a lot to do with that. They were getting their hands on the ball. They were getting a lot of deflections.
Yep.
Boston turned over the ball a lot, and you got to give Golden State a lot of credit for that. They really won that game with defense. And if you really, you know, looking at that game, Boston struggled to get to the paint, and it frustrated Boston so much. Boston started missing open shots in the game, too, in that game. If you look at, you know, the turnovers, was caused by the Golden State defense. The turnovers was huge. And Boston's half-court defense was pretty solid in that game. But Golden State got so many points off turnovers in transition, that was a huge difference in that game. I mean, I think they got about 20 more points than Boston did off of turnovers in that game.
Yep.
That was the difference. Golden State's defense was phenomenal in the game on Sunday night. I mean, like you said, they got their hands on a lot of deflections.
I'm not impressed.
Boston wasn't getting many open looks, and when Boston
did get open looks, they were missing shots.
I've been trying to get off this clock for like 10 minutes, 30 minutes. The lady's going to say something, too. She's going to cut us off at some point.
My bad.
But come on, Dre. They were desperate. They were at home. They had to get the split. Like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing? We giving them a break? We're getting the split?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah. They had to get that.
And the refs, and the refs knew that, too. They want that to be a 1-1 series to prolong the series. You can never convince me otherwise. Go ahead, Dre. I'm done talking about it.
Damn.
Well, like you said, gentlemen, it's been fun. We hope you have a good week. It's definitely way beyond the boundaries of Pride Rock. Appreciate you guys. Till the next week, gentlemen. JQ came in just on fire. Nas, it's always good to have him come in on fire. Curtis, Gary, appreciate you guys. Shout out to Annie. Doing the yeoman's work. Rob, appreciate you putting the topics together and posting stuff. Gentlemen, have a great, great evening. We'll talk to you guys. I'm sure we'll be texting about the week, too. Nas, get on board, man. We'll keep calling in, man. We appreciate you as well, man. All right?
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, y'all.
It's all good. JQ, you owe us, bro. We'll
good night, man.
Chet Holmgren.
Good night, people. Hey, JQ, wear your Kirk Cousins jersey next week.
JQ playing his mind games. He's going to be drafting Chet Holmgren on the fantasy basketball team next year, too.
You know, I have not had Kirk Cousins
y'all better
on my
watch
team.
He's playing
I ain't had Kirk Cousins on my team ever.
Hey,
y'all go back and check my stats. Kirk Cousins has not been on any of my teams. You fuck with your face. I'm out.
You might stash him as a backup.
Oh my god. We're gonna check the receipt. We're checking the receipt. Good night, Phil.
Hey, I'm telling you, our listeners that play fantasy sports with us, they watch JQ. He playing these mind games, these psychological games with y'all. He's trying to catch you.
I'm through with you, Rob.
Good night, fellas.
All right,
good night, people.
Good night.